Welcome to the Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz.
This morning on the show, we're looking at how new federal legislation is reshaping the world of cannabinoid health products, specifically by tightening rules that once allowed traces of THC to remain in CBD items.
Amid this shift, one compounding pharmacy has developed something groundbreaking: medical-grade zero THC cannabidiol, tailored to individual patients. It raises a big question: what happens when CBD is treated not as a supplement, but as real medicine?
To help us unpack all this, we're joined by Dr. Priyanka Sharma, a chemical engineer and co-CEO of a company at the forefront of high-purity, non-intoxicating cannabinoids. She'll explain what this legislation means for safety, patient care, and the next generation of personalized cannabinoid therapeutics. Priyanka, welcome to the Mountain Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is such an interesting world because, 10 years ago, it seemed like full steam ahead on the legalization of THC, dispensaries cropping up all over the place. At the same time, there was also this proliferation of health-related CBD products. And so I think, as the general consumer, unless you're really into this, it's all pretty confusing. So let's start just with defining the difference between the components that may go into a CBD health product, which is different than, THC products for getting high. Is that fair to say?
Thanks, Lynn. No, I'm glad that you asked that. I think it's definitely a point of confusion for a lot of consumers, especially because of marketing and advertising. They kind of don't know sometimes where these products are being derived from. So I think it's important to kind of travel back in time to 2018. And that's when in December, the Farm Bill was signed by President Trump. And in that Farm Bill, industrial hemp was removed from the Controlled Substances Act. And it was defined as a plant that contained less than 0.3% THC on a dry weight basis. Now, as far as the regulated marijuana industry, which is what you're referring to as the THC, that had been legalized in certain states, such as Colorado, on a state level. And that started to happen quickly across other states. But in that industry, the plant that they're using to produce products contains more than 0.3% THC. So that's the difference between both of those products. Now, with industrial hemp that contains less than 0.3% on a dry weight basis, the most prominent cannabinoid in that plant is CBD. CBD can be present as high as 8 to 10% in a industrial hemp plant. That's a little bit rare. That's harder to do when you're planting on a mass scale in acres of land. What was produced in states like Colorado and Kentucky and Oregon, as far as industrial hemp, was a plant that had 4 to 5% CBD on a dry weight basis. So once that plant is extracted into finished products, the most prominent cannabinoid in there will be CBD. And that was the first wave of CBD products that were in the market post 2018. That was what they were being derived from.
Okay. So is THC also a cannabinoid? Or maybe the better question is, what exactly is a cannabinoid?
Yeah, so that's just a class of molecule that is found in the hemp plant. And so as far as the hemp and marijuana plant, they both contain cannabinoids. They contain terpenes. That's another class of molecule that's there. But yes, the different cannabinoids are CBD, there's CBN, there's CBG, and then of course there's what you're referring to, which is THC, that's delta 9 THC. There's also other THC, there's delta 10 and other derivatives.
So, just in case people are a little bit newer to this, which many of us are, what conditions are cannabinoids demonstrating the most effectiveness? Like, what kind of people would go hopefully looking for them?
Sure, and I do want to clarify that, up until this point, cannabinoids were being accessed by consumers for a self-care
Right.
protocol. So they are seeking out cannabinoids for what they believe it assists them with. I think what we have seen, sort of anecdotally, is there is support of anxiety, there's support of chronic pain, there's support of inflammation and symptoms that arise from that. And that's what we found that most consumers were accessing the over-the-counter CBD products for.
Yeah, here in a ski town, we definitely see a lot of the CBD balms and things like that. 'Cause after skiing, and who knows if it's, I'm sure that they're not regulated exactly, so they may have different amounts in each, but just, massaging and giving the parts of your body a little extra attention after you're sore are always, it's always a nice protocol. Are there things that you're noticing in the studies coming down the pike that are uses for cannabinoids that people may not be thinking about yet?
Yeah, so one of the things that we have seen as far as after we've done this pivoting towards restoring clinical trust in CBD, so involving healthcare practitioners having conversations with their patients and actually going back through the literature, looking at clinical studies and looking at data where CBD has been tried with different patient cohorts for different cases. One of the very unique uses of CBD from a therapeutic standpoint is actually for symptoms related to substance use disorders. And that's something that we're finding more and more healthcare practitioners are talking about. They're seeing in their practices use of high doses of CBD for therapeutic benefit to alleviate some of the symptoms that come from having a substance use disorder.
If you're just joining us on the Mountain Life, we're having a conversation with Priyanka Sharma. She's a chemical engineer. She's also the co-founder and co-CEO of a company called Kazmira, that is developing high purity, non-intoxicating cannabinoids, for healthcare, and more specifically for this idea of more precision, personalized cannabinoid therapeutics. So, Priyanka, in your opinion, as a chemical engineer, how has THC gotten in the way of what you're looking to do with CBD therapeutics?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that. So I mentioned earlier that this legislation in 2018 with the Farm Bill defined hemp as 0.3% on a dry weight basis. And that 0.3% has turned out to be, what I call the great confounder, because it really doesn't mean anything from a product development standpoint. And what happened in the beginning of the CBD industry, which is really what I track back to 2017 or 2018, there was a goal from product companies that we should be upfront with how much THC and how much CBD are in these products. Now, as they proliferated, consumers then began to start accessing CBD products that had significant amounts of THC. Because the only labeling that they had put on their product was less than 0.3%. But what does that really mean? Because in some cases, we were finding, and this is not just us from an analytical standpoint, but so many third-party analytical labs were finding that there were consumer products that had up to 100 milligrams of THC in them, but they were from hemp. They were marketed as being from hemp. Now, in our world, what we do is we have purification technology that separates CBD totally from THC in the extraction, purification, and isolation process. And this was really important to us because when you trace this to a clinical perspective, a clinician needs to know in a daily dose of what they're providing their patient how much CBD in milligrams and how much THC or other cannabinoids could be present in that product, because then they can track the therapeutic effect. They can look at this across a patient cohort. So it was very important for us to have that precise dosing, and our technology allows for that kind of product to be created.
Interesting. So, is this sort of groundbreaking technology? Is it technology that has been applied with other substances to separate one chemical from another? How is it working?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that. So, just as far as my husband and I, who co-founded this company, both of us are chemical engineers. And we really started in the oil and gas industry, where they have a lot of scaled up processes that separate compounds from one another. So, this type of technology, which is chromatographic purification, it's been used across many industries. What we decided to do was bring this to the industrial hemp industry, because what we realized was there was a lack of technology to be able to take this plant, which is being produced, cultivated at scale, harvested out of the ground, and get that to a purified final product. So there was a lot of tools that we were able to access, just coming out of the oil and gas industry.
Wow. So just to nerd out for a second, was there something especially tricky about the cannabinoids to separate the THC, or was it just that up until this point, there was some stigma around it or things like that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that it's actually both. So as far as how the plant has been accessed, and I'm sure both of you are well aware that as far as a medical cannabis, this is a practice that has been noted in some of the earliest medical journals that can be found in Southeast Asia or even in India, and how they used to access the plant as a medicine was essentially a crude form. There was not a technology that was, being used to sort of precisely understand the cannabinoids that were in that plant. They were maybe crushing it and putting it into different medicinal preparations, but it was being compounded nonetheless. Now, that then, as far as the United States, we used to be a world leader in growth of industrial hemp. And after 80 years or so of prohibition, this is when the US decided that we would have industrial hemp be a cultivated crop again. And so it's taken some time to have technology providers be able to participate in this space. But I think because it's gone from a sort of personalized, as far as what it probably used to look like thousands of years ago, it probably used to look like a person in, in a town giving this to a patient, and it was sort of kind of this one-on-one use. But here we have sort of expanded this at scale. And so when you have scale, you need technology, and you need to have this be in a sense a industry standard that we need to follow as far as how are we extracting this, how are we purifying this, how are we isolating it. So we had to eventually bring technology into this space to be able to provide consumers with the safest product.
Yeah, that makes total sense. You'd want standardized dosages for things. To that point, how quickly, like you mentioned earlier, that like for dosage, for therapeutic uses, a doctor wants to know that there's a standardized amount when prescribing things like that or recommending. How quickly are doctors keeping up with specialization and the use of cannabinoids for various health needs?
So we are finding that there's a gap in understanding and having a baseline familiarity of cannabinoids from a medical perspective.
I bet.
It's possible that certain medical school curriculums have started to incorporate this, because we are seeing doctors now speak up more and more about patients talking to them about their use in self-care of cannabinoids, whether that be accessing hemp products or accessing marijuana products. They are talking to their doctors about it. So we are seeing an uptick in discussion at the medical school level, but I can only assume that it's largely been removed from the curriculum because it wasn't a standard of care. for certain medical conditions.
Just to follow up on that, it kind of seems like everyone that I know who even uses cannabinoids that do contain THC, they're kind of biohacking because it's a little bit like you're thrown out there and have to just kind of see if it works for you. And if you do happen to mention it to your doctor, even in a context like, oh, I might have a gummy if I'm somewhere where it's legal, whatever, they kind of nod and they're like, okay, and they note it, but there's not a lot of commentary. So I really hope that, as you mentioned, that is the case where some more up-to-date training and recommendation comes up, because right now it just seems kind of like this little asterisk on your chart, but there's not really much commentary or guidance. So that would be really nice.
I agree, and I think it has to go there. I recently saw in the news that the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced that there would be a potential inclusion of CBD through one of their special pilot programs. I believe it's through oncology and palliative care. And ultimately, for something like that to work, there has to be educational materials for doctors to be able to access. They have to be able to understand protocols and how to assess and how to manage a patient that's on a cannabinoid therapy. So I think when we have inflection points like this, we will see this being added back into curriculums and possibly even at the national level, having something for healthcare practitioners to access.
So this is really very good news for the CBD industry, and also for the, well, for example, I have a friend who is an industrial hemp farmer, and I remember she and her husband, when, certain legislation has come through saying this is going to destroy their industry. But I would imagine for an industrialized hemp farmer, this is a good thing, right? Because it can just be, because everyone will know what it is. And it also leads me, I don't know, into the question about seeds, about those who are growing hemp. Like, you can't modify the seed, but you can modify the product afterwards. Is that right?
Yeah, so I think it's best to answer your question in the light of the new legislation that passed. Really, before this new legislation, we didn't have an understanding of how the federal government was looking at industrial hemp. But based on this new legislation that passed, I believe it was November 12th of this past month, there's now an inclusion of what's defined in industrial hemp and also an exclusion of what's defined as industrial hemp. So, as far as the cultivation side, they have now defined industrial hemp, and that should give a lot of it should give a lot of information to those who are looking to grow industrial hemp for the textiles and for fabrics and for real industrial hemp purposes. They've also defined terms like hemp-derived cannabinoid product. They've defined an intermediate product, and these are for the purpose of growing industrial hemp for extraction of cannabinoids and for producing of those products. But again, what this legislation has really done is finally get our industry towards the standard that was desperately missing. There's some additional information in the legislation where FDA has to define what cannabinoids can be naturally extracted from the hemp plant, what cannabinoids are likely synthetic products. They also have to do some definition regarding intoxicating cannabinoids and what cannabinoids can mimic the effects of THC. So just having those tools is going to, I think, give rise to a lot of regulatory pathways that were desperately needed for our industry.
It also seems to me, and maybe you can explore this a little more, Priyanka, is that, you're at the grocery store, you're in the checkout line, and you've got your gum and your mints and your M&Ms, in my case, And then you have your CBD products that are there too. And it just makes me think, how many of these are regulated? Are they really what they say they are? Does this new legislation, will it help just define the whole industry better so that I would never buy those things, not the CBD products, because I don't know what it is. How will that help?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So really, Lynn, up until now, there was so much pressure on individual state governments to have to identify and regulate and legislate hemp programs within their state, because a lot of what has happened in the industry was not contemplated by federal regulators as well as state regulators. This was sort of looked at as a health and wellness category. But very quickly, these products proliferated to becoming intoxicating products from hemp. And so, when you reference what you're getting at the grocery store, there likely hasn't been the testing or the labeling that should be required for a consumer to accurately understand what's in that product. And this responsibility has largely fallen on the state regulators. And so I believe it was in early November, there was a letter that was drafted by many attorney generals. I think it was 38 or 39 attorney generals. And they wrote a letter to Congress that it was a call for help, that they need some tools that are at the federal level that further define what this industry can and can't do. And so while we still may see some states taking additional action, I think what this federal legislation does is it redefines this category in a way that is safer for consumers. And it also makes the life of these state regulators much easier.
Well, how will we know? Is this already to market? Is this something we can keep up on if we're interested in exploring more use of cannabinoids for our health?
When you talk about what's already to market, are you talking about the hemp products that are already available on the market or?
Well, I just mean with your kind of new process.
Sure. So what we've done is we've introduced CBD into the personalized medicine category. And this is now including a healthcare practitioner who is allowed to prescribe CBD for a patient. And we have a licensed pharmacist that will compound and dispense that prescription, and it gets shipped directly to the patient. So we've started this in Colorado, and we intend to expand this across many states. And I suspect that this federal legislation, which narrowly defines CBD products and very much limits the amount of THC that can be in a final product, I believe it's 0.4 milligrams of THC total in the final CBD product, that will probably give rise to an innovation of CBD forward products that I believe most healthcare practitioners would be comfortable using, would be comfortable recommending for their patients because they will get to access the label of what's in that product and they'll be able to understand further how that product can affect different patient populations.
We've been speaking with Dr. Priyanka Sharma. She's the co-founder and co-CEO of a company called Kazmira. If people are interested in finding out more about your company, how can we find you?
Sure. So we do plenty of webinars for healthcare practitioners, which you can find through Kazmira Therapeutics, which is our main website. But you're also welcome to contact our 503A pharmacy, which is kazmirapharmacy.com. And in that, you can interact with our pharmacist, whether you're a potential patient or a healthcare practitioner, and just ask about how you can get care and how you can access these prescribed CBD.
Well, it's a very interesting world, and we're really happy you could join us to walk us through all of these definitions and the legislation. So, Priyanka, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Mary, for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Mountain Life here on KPCW. If you like what you hear, leave us a comment, rate us, and be sure to subscribe to stay on top of all of our show episodes. And if you have an idea for a future episode of The Mountain Life, email us at themountainlife@kpcw.org.